Last week we were talking about the Hagdoma, about the Baal Shevet Musar, Rabbi Yoh HaKoyen of Izmir. Again, there was an Iftin 1729 who devotes quite a healthy section of the Sefer Orchis Tzadikim in his Shevet Musar in Perig Memvov. And I believe I mentioned that he refers to the Shevet, in the Sefer Shevet Musar, refers to the Sefer Orchis Tzadikim with a different name, called Orchis Chaim. And we pointed out that in earlier generations, the Sefer Orchis Tzadikim was not necessarily called Orchis Tzadikim, but we find already in Rishonim different ways of how it was called. It was called Sefer Amidos. The Reishis Chochma refers to it as Sefer Amidos. It's called Beis Midos. Some are called different names. But the idea, of course, it's as we know, the Sefer Orchis Tzadikim, of course, is filled with Musar. And as we pointed out, that although that probably primarily he is known by the Mechaber of being the Sefer Shevet Musar, also the Sefer Medrash Talpiyos, but we mentioned that about close to 40 Sforim, the Chidor himself writes and mentions this, that Rabbi Yoh HaKoyen of Izmir wrote close to 40 Sforim. One of the Sforim is a Sefer called Midrash Eliyahu. Last week we quote a little bit from his other Sefer also, which is called Me'il Tzedakah, because we mentioned he was a tremendous advocate of giving tzedakah, and he devoted his life to see to it that people were encouraged to give tzedakah, besides the fact that he himself gave everything up that what he owned, but he also saw to it, and his drushes encouraged people in giving tzedakah. So just Kedai, just to quote a little bit, a few lines of the Sefer Medrash Eliyahu, that talks about the tzidkus of his brother. Interesting. You have this psastikla soge, but what his brother was about. See, but usually, again, two brothers, not so often one talks about the godliness of his brother. But Moshe Nahar, we find that Moshe was not jealous of his brother Aaron. And here we find a similar situation where the Sefer Shevet Musar, but in the Sefer Medrash Eliyahu, where he talks about the sitkis of his brother. And he writes, Hachosid Ochi, he says, Moreno Rav Yitzchok. He says, Mo'olam loy lovash bigdei meshi. He never wore clothing made out of silk. Never wore a new suit. In other words, any clothing that he wore was something that was already worn before. He would buy used clothing, wear used clothing, and also never new shoes. Why? Because Allah velas churban beis hamikdash. This was his way of always being remembering and always being reminded of the churban beis hamikdash, 24/7, whenever it was. Still, maybe the Shabbos, of course. Yeah, but again, he says, new begotten he would not wear. Be maybe respectable begotten. It's certainly not dirty clothing, not soiled clothing. We'll soon see the Orchis Tzadikim is going to talk about that. But he says, his brother would never wear any clothing of any new, nor new shoes, and clothing made of silk, even if they were old. The fair fact that they're made out of silk, he gives the chashivas. He would not wear that. Always be mindful of churban beis hamikdash. And he writes, when he was 18 years old, choshka nafshe lehalach l'Yerushalayim. Doesn't say from where, maybe from Turkey it was. At the age of 18, he says, my brother developed a desire to go to Yerushalayim. L'istoyfev, he says, b'tzilo yisborech, to be able to bask in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where else if not Yerushalayim? Mokrem asher shochen shemo yishom. However, he says, he did not have any money. Did not have any money for any type of affair, to be able to ride a chamor, as you said, though they ride donkeys, or being going by wagon, or any other mode of transportation that they use in those days, didn't have any money. So he says, "Umeroyv cheshkosa bebin," that he had such a tremendous cheshik. Somo derech poram v'haloch beraglov, he went by foot. The desire to reach Yerushalayim was so strong. Didn't have any money, would not let stop, but rather he would walk by foot, and he met up a caravan of people. Now the caravan of people, they were riding on animals, and somehow he developed a certain it says they saw him, and an affinity they saw, and a favor that he found arises of a chonano in b'nei hashiyoro v'sochru lechamor, and they hired out a chamor, they rented a donkey so he should be able to ride on it, so that he couldn't himself afford to pay for it. So others saw to it to see that his chamor had a chamonas on it, he's walking. So the Bnei Hashiyoro, so they rented a chamor so he should be able to ride, and he came to Yerushalayim. He says, "V'hola b'beis hamedrash," in Yerushalayim, he sits in the beis hamedrash, "V'loyotze misham me'oilom." Saloshin. "V'loyotze misham me'oilom." He never left the beis hamedrash. Leyotze Misham Yom. Agav, in Yerushalayim it was a Choshev Yid, a big Talmud Chochem. Name is Reb Chaim Yankel Klapholz. In Yerushalayim to this day, there are children, grandchildren of the Reb Chaim Yankel Klapholz. Tremendous Talmud Chochem. There's in Sefer, I found out about the first time I picked up at random in a Sorem store, possibly Big Horizon, and it was a Sefer called Ikve Chaim. I looked at it, it was a very Lomdisha Sefer, and there's something very interesting Sefer. And there was a lot of correspondence between him and Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And you saw, he's reading a little in the Hagadome. It's a big Talmud Chochem. He's from the Friedrich Yidin of Yerushalayim. It's brought down over there in the Hagadome, in the introduction to the Sefer, that he needed to marry off a child. And of course, Yerushalayim, a Yid, the Yid Talmud Chochem, said, still doesn't have any money. So they gave him advice. They gave him an exit, said, go to New York. He said, that's the way to do it. Go to America. He said, raise money. That's the way everybody else does it. Well, many, many years ago. He said, go to New York. He said, what am I? I never have any experience in raising money. Go to New York. He goes to New York. What do you think he does? He goes to New York and he sits in the base medrash all day. He's supposed to came to New York to raise money. He goes to the base medrash and sits and learns. So people saw that this is not as a posh person. Boy Yisrael made it that people should notice him. Yid went over to him and said to him, he says, where are you from? He said, I'm from Yerushalayim. He says, what are you here for? He said, the reason why I'm here for is, but this is not the way to do it. He introduced him, he said, to the Satmar Rebbe. The Gedom is brought down, and recently it was written up to my sister someplace else, and they brought him to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe saw that he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and the Rebbe already saw to it, he raised all the money that he needed without doing anything. He did his shlichus, he comes to New York, comes to America, and he goes home, and he has the money. Anyway, so this Rebbe Yitzchak, as he says, never went out of the Beis Medrash, v'hoyi mistapik behechreichoi, and mamish, he subsisted, he says, mamish and just what you needed to survive. He said also when he came to doing mitzvahs, he would do mitzvahs alibi de kuli alma. What does it mean? Many times in various mitzvahs, there might be a difference of opinion machloikis. You know, you do it this way, do it this way. He would do the mitzvah twice. Once like this opinion, then like the other opinion. That's what he says. Alibi de kuli alma. Shim hoye shnaim cholkim bedin echod. Hoye maj v'deya shneim l'kayim. Because it says kozeh, kozeh. And this is the way he did by kiyum mitzvahs. If there was any possibility to be yotze to everybody, he would do it the way to be yotze to everybody's opinion. And then he says, "Umeid olaf shemayim v'yorish le'loma dover b'toyrish le'kaimo." He says, "Shemayim v'yorish can testify. There was not a thing that he learned that he wasn't mekayim." Many people learn a lot of things, but when it comes to practice, they don't do it. Says Rabbi Yoakoyin. He says, "My brother," he says, "I may." He says, "Shemayim v'yorish can testify that there was not a thing that he ever learned that he was not mekayim." And what about those mitzvahs that you can't do today, like a mitzvah bikurim? You have no, you know, to bring from the first fruits. You have no beis hamikdash. So regarding mitzvah bikurim, what do we do? What's the other answer? Is to learn the parasha of the mitzvah, because this Gemara tells us, "Kol oisik b'tayrus oila is kilu hikar v'oila." If you learn the parasha of korbanos, it can't be makar of korbanos today. But if you read the parasha, so the same thing. If you read every, so all those mitzvahs that you couldn't do, you would read the parasha every day. You read the parasha of all those mitzvahs that you couldn't do, at least to have the credit as if it was done. Then he says, while he was there in Yerushalayim, there was a tremendous famine. You have to realize this in the 1700s. Vayhi Rav Godel, or could be even still the late 1600s. Vayhi Rav Godel has a tremendous famine. He says, Achibachu Ruba Meretz Yisrael Chustar. So it was such a famine in the land, literally, that people could not stay in Eretz Yisrael. Most of them left, and they went to Chutzlaretz. He said, to the point, he says, that it was Rav Shalechem Umayim Kelehim Ter Hashem Boishon. There was no bread, there was no water, because there was no rain that year. And he writes, Rabbi Mesu Mahatsoma Yosha Mahalechem. More people died of thirst than from bread, lack of bread. It was such a tremendous famine. It says to the Ashirim that were there, people who could afford it, they would be able to buy. It's very expensive to buy water, but they were able to buy water. The Erech Godel. But he, my brother, he says, Hoyemutl Berov Bitsoma. He, Lamaisif, finds himself in terrible, he says, starving and in thirst. So the Chachomim came to him. And he said to him, why don't you do it like everybody else? Leave. Go at least temporarily. Leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutzlaretz, because they all did. At Yavar Zam, until the trouble is over. And as far as you, it may be your word, you know, many people, Chachomim, were worried about the aver of leaving Eretz Yisrael, going to Chutzlaretz. So the Chachomim said, they saw, they had to convince them to leave. They said, Vehem Yisu Aleim Avoyne, we'll take the aver on us. Now, don't worry about it. For giving you advice to leave Eretz Yisrael, he says, if there's any sin involved, he says, we'll take it upon us. We'll take it. And he said, listen, if I have to die, I'm dying in Eretz Yisrael, he says. Whether starvate, whatever it is, he says, this misa, that misa. And they could not believe it. They could not, whatever they tried to do, he says, they could not convince him. And he stays. So what did he do? He had his family, he had children. Doesn't say how many children he had. But he used to go, he said, to Sdei Charuvim. There was a fields of boxer, a carob. So he was bechesed elyon. He said to Chazi Hashem that he would give him a few stalks of these charuvim and would give it to his young children that they should suck out the juice. He says his wife was not able to nurse, seeing they were very young, because Poshet was no, she didn't drink anything, she didn't have any milk to give. And this is the way it was. Vim kolze, in spite of all, he says, of the trouble, in spite of all of the burden, lohoya mafsik milimudo, he says, would not stop, nothing stood in the way of his learning. And he points out so much and so forth. And he says, with all the tzaras, he was able to remedy himself by leaving, at least temporarily. Some liberally say, he says, l'chutz la'aretz, to leave, he says, to go to chutz la'aretz. So that's one nekuda that he brings the godless of his brother in Medrash Eliyahu. So in the same sefer, Medrash Eliyahu, this was in Drush Hei. So in Drush Gimel, he writes as follows. Unless we pointed out, he talks about he had the encounters of the various neshamas that came from the Olam Elyon, that came from the other world, that he encountered and he spoke to them. It's very fascinating. He writes his personal experiences. But here he writes, Poshet, he was a tremendous kanoi as well, especially when it came to Kovod HaTorah. Bizoyen Talmid HaChachamim would not stand for. So he writes in his Sefer Medrash Eliyahu in Drush Gimel, he writes, Ani HaKosef, I who am writing, Italy, Shepam Echod B'Yom Shabbos Kodesh, because remember he was a tremendous Baal Darshan, he would darshan a lot that we spoke about. So once on Shabbos Kodesh he says, I darshan al inyan ra, she'osu kaman oshim, about something terrible that people did, neged ha-Torah, against the Torah. What was it? They made a haskoma, people got together, they made a haskoma, shle yitnu tzedoka la'aniyim b'chol shvua rak m'chodesh l'chodesh. It seems that there was a situation that on a weekly basis, alms would be distributed to the poor. So people got together and said, no, every week that's not a good idea. Once a month, which means that the whole month, during week by week, the aniyim would suffer. And as he writes over here, this is keneged ha-Torah, to make such a takana, to make such a resolution against the aniyim, he says. And the reason they said is machmas oil hamisim shenich b'dalayim, because of the strain of taxes that they have. I spoke to them, he says, a lot. But omri lahem, shamai says keneged ha-Torah, you can't do this to the poor people. Umagam shom chazal, especially chazal say, Imroy odam shimizanoisa mutsumsomim. Chazal say, if a person sees this parnos is limited, what do chazal say? Chazal say, yefaze moisa le tzedoka. A person should give tzedoka. Shemelach momen choser. Chazal say in ksubis, you know, when you want to preserve something, you salt it. So you want to preserve money. How do you salt money? How do you preserve your money? Melach momen choser. By being machaser, by diminishing it, give some to tzedoka. That's the melech, that's the salt. Melech momen choser. So it's like Marek Subis. If you want to salt your money, you want to preserve your money, be machaser from it. See that you give some to tzedoka. So he points out, this is what I told him, he says. When I said that, apparently he was not before enough, because later on he says he was not there. V'kom kinegdi ish ra ubilial, yamach shemoy v'zichre. Little Russians he says. Ish rosha, yamach shemoy v'zichre, got up. He says, "Upa piv kegomal." Open his mouth like a camel. He says, "Vikile lechol talmidei chachomim." He started cursing out all the talmidei chachomim. V'omashe kol divreim hem divorim sheboidim libam. Whatever talmidei chachomim are saying, they made it up. They're making it all up. The darshim kfir mitzayim, and all the drushes are according to what they want to darshan, the way they want to darshan. V'kamed divorim, and he said more and more. Ashe osel esaprom. I can't repeat it. And then he also said, intelligence. And the people were standing there, no one made a move. No one protested, he said. Why? Because he was an Oishi, he was a rich. So he had power. So they're afraid to say anything. Says the Shevet Musa, woe to them and for the neshamas. Im tipper serucha misbaishim. They have busha. They speak up from a tipper serucha. What is it? Just a boss of Adam, a lowly boss of Adam. He says, Mayasa b'yom adin. Hashem yishalem leish kedrochov. The Kadosh Baruch Hu pays back according to a person's behavior. So he says, Vani akosev leshimati hadvarim. So that's what it seems. He first thought that he himself heard it. He said it in his presence. He says, I did not hear it, like Heidu all of Edim Nemonim. But I heard it, he says, from Edim Nemonim, from, he says, reliable witnesses. And he says like this. He says, Shechai Hashem. He says, I swear. Look what he says. Shechai Hashem. If I would be there, and I heard what he said against all the Talmidei Chachamim, Ho yiseh make oisoi ad movis. He says, I would have struck him down dead, he says. Lotion says, "Shelibi kelev huari lilbush bigday nokam al kovad atoyer velamdeo." But loyal kovad beis, when it comes to the Torah, he says. Then he says, "I girdle myself." He says, "With kinoy," he says, "take up for kovad shemayim." Shebeemes, he says, Kvoidi mocha lechoil, it's not my kovid. Rakal Elban HaTorah, he says, when it comes to Elban HaTorah, as Shebeemes says, my father was the same thing. My father once also heard the Zoyan Talmud Chochom, he put that person in the Cheirmi, he goes on to say. So this is just again a little bit again of the Baal Shevet Musar, again, who again devotes quite a bit regarding the Sefer Oiches Tzadikim. So we have to go, Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look at the Oiches Tzadikim. We are here on Daf Yud Gimel in the volumes that the Olam has in front of you, that you have. V'oid ha'gai v'goremes, we're up to. The paragraph, V'oid ha'gai v'goremes. The other thing goes on to say, what are more of the consequences of gaiva? If somebody has arrogance, somebody has gaiva, somebody has pride. V'oid ha'gaiva goremes, what gaiva is goyrem, he says, in addition to all of the other things mentioned above, shloyeh savlon lizboil oil habrius. A person, you have no patience. If you're about gaiva, he said, you have no patience to tolerate the pain of others, or to listen to others, to commiserate with others. He says, "Ve'ein tzarech laharoch." He says, "There's no necessary. It's not necessary for me." He says, "The Orchas Tzadikim, to elaborate." Bepchisus mishen esavlin. I don't need to tell you how lowly a person is if he is impatient with others. Gaiva will bring a person, in addition to all the other avlas, to bring a person to be impatient, not to be a savlan, to be able to be soivel oil habrius. And a person who's not capable of tolerating and being patient and commiserating with the pain of others, he says, I don't have to elaborate, he says, the defectiveness of such a person. Now he goes on to say, but, you know, when it comes, when we talk about pride, there's also a positive aspect, because talking about all but the negativity of pride. But there is a positive aspect to gaiva also. So the zoyzi gavas haguf shehi toiver. There's also a positive, he says, aspect of pride. Shema yoyme hodom. In case a person should say, hoyel vagaiva hu midero kol kach, a person might say to himself, you know, I'll take it to the extreme, that being that gaiva is such a terrible midah, so efroish mimeno biyoser. So I will separate myself to the extreme altogether, he says, to the point. Atshaloi, he says, Atshaloi yoichal boser of lishtayayim. You know, I'll stop leading a normal life because I'm afraid of falling into gaiva. He's afraid, he becomes obsessed of falling into gaiva. He's not going to eat any meat. He's not going to drink wine. For Yisayish is not going to get married. For Yeshe Bedir no, he's not going to live in a comfortable home. Chalil Bash Malbush no, he's not going to wear respectable clothing. El Hasak Bahatsemer. He's going to wear sackcloth or stiff wool. Stam wool is not a problem. Everybody, he's not going to wear a wool, means he's not going to wear, you know, he's only going to wear stiff wool. Ukruyim, torn, umlechlochim, soiled begodim. And umishtamish bikelim umlechlochim wasim. And he's going to use utensils that are dirty and they're ugly because he's afraid of gaiva. So therefore, he is going to relegate himself to this type of a lifestyle. In addition to all that, v'leyirchatz ponav yadav raglov, he's not going to bathe because he's afraid of gaiva. So he's not going to wash his hands and his feet. Until he begins looking worse, he says, than regular people. His appearance will become worse. Why is he doing all that? He said, what do you mean? I'm doing it for a good reason. I want to distance myself from gaiva. He says, to the end, right? To the end of end, to the all end, where you can't even go any further. The Orchas Tzadikim says, "Amahalach b'derech zeh nikra choite." Not only is not a mile, not only is not admirable, he's a sinner, a person who goes to the extreme. That's called a sinner. Another person who lives this type of lifestyle, who deprives himself in each and any way. Harei oimer benozir. After all, we know when it comes to a nozir, which on the one hand we know a nozir, a person who is mekabel naziris to abstain from wine for 30 days, right? So he is a nozir. He's not allowed to take any haircuts. 30 days not drink wine, not to go to the cemetery, keep himself pure. But at the end of the day, when the termination of the Nazir is at the end of the 30 days, he has to bring Korbonis. And what's the Lashon of the Posik? Even though Chazal have different, here brings this Chazal, V'chiper olov mashachot ala nefesh. He brings the Korban because after all, he sinned. Now what did he sin? Amru Chachomim, Umazeh. Now take a look at this Nazir. Shloi pirish ala minayayim. Basically, he only abstained from wine. He still can eat meat, he can still drink and eat all types of other good food. The fact that he abstained from wine, the Torah calls him a choite. So imagine now, Hamaneya Atzmai, one who abstains mikol dover, Allah has come of a kama. How much more so he will be called a choite? In other words, Omru Chachomim, say Rishalmi Nedorim. Chazal have said, Loi dayoch masha os v'toyr, it's not enough to what the Torah asked. Why you come to add more Isurim? El shat oyster lecho dvorim acherim. Al inyan zeh, a person who goes to the extreme in such a way, uki yaitse bezeh, Omar Shlomo Shlomo Melech said, "Al tehi tzadik harbe, don't be overly righteous. Val tischakem yoser, don't be overly wise. Lomo tishoymeim, why destroy yourself?" Shlomo Melech says in Kehelis, he says, all the this lishoynis, lomo tishoymeim, and so on. Al tehi tzadik harbe. Therefore, haderech hayosher biyodom, says the Orche Sadikim, the proper course for man is, first of all, Shei Noki Bechol Inyonov, that all his affairs should be clean. Ki Hanekiyas, interesting, look what he says. Because he says, cleanliness, Hu Goder Shel Maisim Toivim, is the road to good deeds. Interesting thing. He says, Nekiyas is the road to good deeds. Why? The under psychological reason for that is, because a person, basically, who is disciplined bodily, Nikias, because he talks about physical Nikias. A person who is disciplined physically, bodily, so will habitually also become, he's a disciplined person, and that becomes part of his behavior. So a person, a disciplined person, to sees to it that everything should be proper. Memela, it will also lead to the fact he'll become disciplined also spiritually. As he goes on to point out, it's type one type of person is. Either you're a Mesudah Digger person or not a Mesudah Digger person. The person is not Mesudah, is not Mesudah Bechlal. If you're a Mesudah, then you are a Mesudah. If a person lives the life of Seder, if you're disciplined, then you're going to be disciplined. So it's Keitzad. So what is the appropriate behavior? Yilbash Begodim Beinanim. Person should wear average clothing. Not extra flashy clothing, not show offy clothing. Should wear Begodim Beinanim, average clothing. Veloyim Al Bishaniyim. Shouldn't wear pauper's clothing either. Hamavazim Loiv Shom. Like the chamber person. Average clothing that are pleasant and that they are clean. Of course, what's called average? It depends according to what you can afford. According to a person's state, right? According to a person's state, that's the kind of begotten they should wear. And he goes on to say that, listen what he says. It's forbidden to wear stained or soiled garments. What he's trying to say is that this is even bestamoda. This is even a regular person should not wear stained clothing, because when it comes to Talmud Chacham, it's more than that. It's Chilul Hashem. He's not talking dafke about a Talmud Chacham. This is the behavior for each and every person. When it comes to Talmud Chacham, it's the Chilul Hashem, and the Gemara says, as a matter of fact, when it's Chayim Misa B'nei Shemaim, the Gemara says Talmud Chacham Shinim Tzer Revav Al Bigdoi, the Gemara Shabbos, right? Talmud Chacham is found the Revav, which is a stain. What says Chayim Misa? What's a Revav? Revav is a stain of shuman, of some fat. But he's talking about general. General is also shimotze. It's not just saying it's a nice thing. He says also shimotze kesem shimnunis al begodov. Below you kruim, it should not be torn. But the same token also, below you misikonim kibigde gaseruach. They should also not be styled like the haughty people, like the high and mighty, not to give that air of greatness in God. It should not be that way either. Begodov beinin. That's in the area of malbush, and that's in the area of clothing. Goes on to say further, what about food? His food, his eating, should be clean. And he says, what's called clean? Clean means in not just in the physical clean, in each and every way. Person should not eat royal cuisine, something that's way above his means. Not talking about occasionally when a person takes a bite of something, but that shouldn't be his style. It should be his lifestyle. Eat madane melech. Foods of royalty, expensive food. Should be average food and drink. According to the affordability. For yishtav lo yechol b'kelim ma'usim. A person should not drink or eat, he says, from ugly kelim, repulsive kelim. Because pen yavoy, because he may transgress, he says, on the posik al tishaktsus nafshesechim, don't abominate yourself. That refers to in doing things that are despicable, which cause you to be squeamish. Ela hakoil yeh b'nikius. Everything should be with cleanliness. Gam shulchono yehenoki, the table should be clean. Gam itosoi tiyah nikiyah, his bed should be clean. V'chol inyonav yihu nikiyim, all his affairs should be clean. Gam gufo yehenoki, his body should be clean. below mezuam. It shouldn't be sweaty. Achiyazoyah should be careful. Lirchoyz plon of yodav araglov. Should be careful to wash, to bathe his face, his hand, and his feet. Gam kol gufoy leitim. Also his whole body at regular intervals. He points out very interesting. Kashim etzinim behilul azokin. So medrash in vayikra rabba. Medrash tells us regarding hilul azokin. Medrash tells us regarding hilul azokin. Shebishor shohoye nifter mitalmidov. We find that he would take leave of his talmidim. Hoye mahalach vahoye lechimam. Finds out that many times that he would walk along with them. Talmidim wondering, where's he going? Omloi talmidim. The medrash tells us this. Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, leheicha nata hoylech. He said to him, where are you going? Omolem, he said, Lazar's mitzvah. I'm on the way to do a mitzvah. Really? What kind of a mitzvah? So he said to him, Omroloi mahi mitzvah zu? So he said to him, so what mitzvah? Omolem, you know what the mitzvah is? Lirchez bebeis amerchez, to go and take a bath. Mitzvah is to go to the bathhouse. Omroloi said, Talmidim, they were surprised. Vichizu hi mitzvah? Is that a mitzvah to take a bath? Omolem, hey! Yes, he says, it's a mitzvah. And he explained why. Ma, now take a look. Im ikunin shemlochem. Talk about a statue of kings made out of stone, made out of marble. What is it? Something, a lifeless statue. But it's the statue of the king. Shemamidin oiso, which is positioned, right? The statue is positioned. Bebote tirtiois, bebote kirkisiois. You set up a statue, it says, in the theaters and in the circuses. So the person who takes care of it, Mishin Isman Aleim, the person, the caretaker, who Murkon, he washes it, Vishoit family polishes it, they malon the mezoinis, and he's being fed, right? He's being supported by doing that. The caretaker gets his sustenance for doing that. Not only that, but Yoit, he's the one who polishes the statue of the king, so Mele, he's also Shui Mizgadelim Gedolim Malchus. You know, he's brought among the royal dignitaries. Ish Mechubed, he's the one that polishes the statue. So Hillel says, he says, if polishing a statue, first of all, it's only a statue. And the statue of whom? Of a boss of Adam, a Melech boss of Adam. So the caretaker gets covered. He gets covered from royalty. Royalty gives him covered. Ani means not only I, it means every human being. Every living human being, Ani. I was created by the image and by the likeness of Hashem. I'm a living human being that carries upon myself the Tzalam Alekim, the Chsivki, B'Tzalam Alekim, Moses Sodom. Man was created in the image of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How much more so do we have to polish and to wash? So that live statue, that live image of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, certainly it's a mitzvah. Big mitzvah. Void Chsiv. Chesedim goes on further. And also we find it says in Mishlei. Says the Mishnah called Poel Hashem Lamaneu. Hashem made everything for His sake, so which means to say that everything as well has to bring out Klai Shemayim. So if you are in the likeness of Hashem, you have the image of Hashem, and you are not clean, you are soiled. So now you are representing the image of Hashem in a terribly negative way. That's a direct steer to what Kodesh Baruch Hu intended. Called Poel Hashem Lamaneu. Why did He bring you here on this earth? Bichlal, what are you doing in this world to promote Klai Shemayim? You're doing just the opposite. And whoever is really careful, he says, to conduct himself in the proper way, l'shem mitzvah. Because people can take a lot of baths for other reasons too. Ah, I should look great in the eyes of people. He says, to adorn themselves and to pride themselves. So he says, as long as you do l'shem mitzvah. If you do l'shem mitzvah, even though it may sometimes give a semblance of gaiva, oh, look how careful he is. He's careful about a little stain on his jacket. Everything has to be so tip-top. He says, even though it may look like gaiva, he says, "Api sheilu dvarim nirim kemay gaiva, kiyim shekavanosel l'shem shemayim yesh bo mitzvah." This is the way he's supposed to behave. This is the way he's supposed to conduct himself. Gavas chokhma masim tovim. Regarding pride that a person has or might have, he says, when it comes to wisdom, yesh bo shnei chalokim, ho echad tov v'echad ra. Regarding gaiva, the attitude to wisdom, the attitude to chokhma, he says, and to masim tovim, has two chalokim. Hagaiver Horohi, he says, the negative gaiver, the negative pride, evil pride, is the attitude like this. The evil pride is when Ashi Yavazib bin Ayodam Beliboy Ubepiv. When a person has disdain, scorning people, either in his heart and certainly in his mouth. In other words, a person might think, I didn't say anything, so what if I think I'm above other people? I didn't say it, I'm only thinking it. Gaiver doesn't have to be Bepe, it's so much worse if you say it. But without even saying a word, just thinking it, he says, having in mind that you are higher above people and you are belittling people in your mind, believe, these are two things. He said, by saying, what are you saying? What do you have in mind? He has in mind, or he says, V'kulam ketanim u'pchusim beinov. He regards everybody, he says, that they are smaller and inferior to him. He's always busy praising himself. That's what he's busy with. Right? You know, besides the fact, he says, besides the fact that this itself, he says, is bad, is negative, that he thinks about himself, he's superior, they're inferior. But look what it leads to. Because of that comes a practice that we spoke about it last week for Rav Shlomo Salanter, we had it on the sheet. But the mid of being moid al emes, admitting the truth. But he's a balgaive. He'll never admit the truth. He always wants to win. Every argument he wants to win, whether he's right or wrong, he's not going to let it be known, even though he might even know that he's wrong. But his gaive is not going to allow him ever to admit, not to admit to be moid al emes. And therefore, he always thinks, and so Chazay angered. In other words, he talks it into himself that he's like, eventually he believes he's like such a chacham. Eventually, he believes that he's the biggest chacham in the world, that everybody's eitzer, everybody's chacham is always not as good as his advice. His advice, he says, his plans, his strategy, always the best. And therefore, in his own mind, he always believes chokhmasa, his chokhma vatsosa, his advice with dvarav umaisim shemishubachim imaisim vachokhmas atzas chaveret. Whatever he says, whatever he thinks, this is always greater. That's what he believes in. Interesting thing is, he says that there's a Rav Satka and Eitz Yisrael, the Kohen Levracha, you know, from Shivas Paris Yosef, Parat Yosef. He said there's something interesting. He says regarding. When we heard, he used to give a lot of shiurim. Let's say Talmud would say pshat, that's not, it wasn't correct. Talmud comes to pshat, Talmud comes, every yeshiva happened like that. Talmud comes to chiddush, it goes and tested by the Rosh Yeshiva. That's either a good pshat, or it's not a good pshat. Either it's a good chiddush, it's not a good chiddush. By the way, they used to say about Rabbeinu Soloveitchik in Brisk, you know, when someone came in to be accepted in the yeshiva, she gave a little bechina. What was the bechina? The yeshivas have different styles, what type of a bechina to give. As the best salvation, there was to be that a bachur wanted to be accepted in yeshiva to see if he is right to be accepted. He says, stay shikol Torah. And based upon the kind of shikol Torah, he'll evaluate it. If it's a good shikol Torah, fine. If it wasn't a good shikol Torah, then you're not accepted. But he always make a small idome before it's stay shikol Torah, he said. He said, make sure, he said, that it's short. Because why? If it's good, short is good enough. If not, short is better. So, make sure it's short. If it's good, short is good enough. And if it's not good, short is better. Rasat Kalamaise, if a Talmud would say Chiddush, and it was not a good Chiddush, he would never say outright, it's not a good Chiddush. But he would say, come and listen to another Pshat. Let me tell you another Pshat. They say, okay, this is what you say, but I want you to hear another Pshat. And then we explain that other, so-called other Pshat, in such a clear way that the person himself would understand that what he said was incorrect. Rosh Yeshiva did not have to resort to have to say, you're wrong. What you're saying is incorrect. He was able to say it in a way to preserve the dignity of the person. Here, let me tell you another possible pshat in the sugya. And we explained it in such a clear way that the Talmud himself would already understand. And the truth is, he pointed out, you saw the same thing by Yosef HaTzadik. Because HaTzadik also, he never told them what you did was wrong. He said, I am your brother Yosef, and they got the message by themselves. And the Yosef Achechem. By saying, I'm your brother Yosef, at the end of the day, they already realized everything was wrong. And I said, you did wrong. Never said that. Never said that the way. He pointed out that Nekuda. So it goes on further, says Yochai Sadikim. So this Balgaive, he says, in Chochmah, who always believed that his Chochmah's Eitzes are way above somebody else's, Umispoyer Tomid B'Chochmosoy B'Maisov, and he always boasts about how great his chokhmah is. By the way, this is, you know, this is an additional chasarim. In other words, the mid of gaive, beside being a evil mid, a negative mid in its own right, it brings him to a point that now he seeks honor as well. He says, "Umispoy tomer chmosiki uchafes lekabel shevach v'kovet al dvar v'ayishore." Now he wants to receive honor also. He wants to receive honor. He keeps boasting about his chokhmah that people should honor him for his so-called chokhmah because he desires to receive praise and honor. Right? For his cogent words. And yet, Valzeo Meshloim, Meshlo Melech says precisely on this, Yahalel Chozor Veloi Picho, let strangers praise you. Veloi Picho. As the Malbim says over there, because the truth is when a person praises himself, it's not praise. He said, when a person prays, not praise. But do maisim toivim in a way that other people should come. That's what Yalol Chazorim used to say. Let your maisim be in such an admirable way that people will praise you. So make sure you conduct yourself in a way that will bring people to praise you. Because to do things that are not praiseworthy, and you can praise yourself, doesn't mean anything. So make sure to do the right thing, which will bring others to praise you. So Yalol Chazor means to do the right thing, says the Malbim, that will bring others to praise you. Because if you don't do the right thing, you praise yourself, that's the other Eitzah, you praise yourself, that's Voloi Picha. That doesn't have any meaning at all. Say that the Rebbe Rebbe, the Magid of Mezvich, is to say, it says, Yi Kavod Chaver Chovev Alecho Kishaloch. It says that your Chavis Chovet, you should extend honor. Your Chavis Chovet should be very choshev to you. Be very, very careful. Right? Be very, very careful not to step on anybody's toes. Be careful not to be mavaz anybody, not to embarrass, not to shame. And let your chavras kovod be as choshev as your own. So the Magid said, as your own, a person's supposed to despise his own kovod. When it comes to your own kovod, you should be berech mina kovod. But it should be despised, should be soine kovod. So what does it mean? Your chavras kovod should be like your own. When it comes to your own kovod, forget. Person is not supposed to be a person who pursues COVID. You're not supposed to be a Rey Devachar COVID. You're supposed to be a Bereich Minah COVID. So your COVID by yourself, for yourself, should be nothing. So what does it mean, Yikvod Chavecho? She said, Pshat is different. Okay, imagine a person, let's say, who really loves COVID. Let's say a person loves COVID. So it happens to be a slow day. Nobody happens to be honoring him. It's not what he does. He stands in front of the mirror and looks at himself and says, Ah, Moshe, his name is Moshe. Moshe, you're so smart. You're so handsome. So he's looking in the mirror and he's giving himself COVID. He realizes that COVID is meaningless. COVID, a person looks in the mirror and gives himself COVID, it means nothing. Say Chazal, when your chaver gives you COVID, it should be kishloch, like what you give yourself. When somebody else gives you COVID, it shouldn't have any more, should not make any impression on you any more than when you give yourself COVID. In other words, good, it's very nice, your chaver giving COVID, it's very, very nice, very choshev, but it should not change you. In terms of that, it should not go to your head. You have to be able to know how to receive it. Yikavod chavercha means the cover that your chaver gives you, bikshalach, like the same cover you give yourself. When you give yourself, of course, it means nothing. So also, when your chaver gives you cover, also, don't be machshiv in the sense of turning it into gaive. That is the nekudah. So it says here, Mispoyer Tomid, that this person here, Mispoyer Tomid, he says, Mechmosa b'maisov. This person is always, he's boasting, right, about his chokhmah and about his maisim. Interesting thing that in Ovis, the Mishnah says, Moid moid havishfal ruach. A double ocean. Moid moid. Very, very, right? Be humbly, very, very much. Moid moid. Be humble very much. It says a double ocean. Moid moid. Why do we have this double ocean? Moid moid. The Chofetz Chaim pointed out, and he brings it from Rabbi Moshe Chagiz. Moshe Chagiz was a very big kanoi, originally from Eretz Yisrael, because of raising money, Parnosa issues. So he comes down to Germany and he lives in Hamburg, and he becomes a tremendous kanoi. He was the son of the Halochis Ketanis. Mishaburi brings many times, he brings from Sefer Hey Lamet Kuftes Rosh Tevis. Many people don't know what that is. Vechein Kosev, he says, Behei Lamet Kuftes, it's Behalochis Ketanis. Halochis Ketanis was the father of Rav Moshe Chagiz. We're talking about the 1700s, the Rav Moshe Chagiz. He was a tremendous kanoi. Mamish, in the company of Rabbi Yankiv Emden, fighting all the adherents to Shabbosai Tzvi, but that's not enough. He was probably the greatest and the fiercest opponent who literally made Gehenna on this world for the Ramchal. Ramchal suffered tremendous sorrows on this world, because being that he was so steeped also in the area of Kabbalah, the Ramchal, and there was suspicion that maybe it has something to do with being a follower of Shatz, of Shabbosai Tzvi, and this was the suspicion. So Rav Moshe Chagiz, really, not only that, he wrote letters to all the various Rabbonim, and particularly of all the Rabbonim, it was the Rabbonim of Venice at that particular time. And they were the ones who wrote to him tremendously, tremendously, Ramchal. At the end of the day, it came is that he had to leave Italy and he goes to Amsterdam. That's where he lives in Amsterdam. Amsterdam, he prints Sefer. And then he passes through Frankfurt in Germany in 1735. And there the Rav was the immediate Rav before the Pnei Yeshua. Before the Pnei Yeshua was Rabbi Yankiv Katz. He was a tremendous Rosh Yeshiva, tremendous going to Mechaber, the Shal Sechuvah, Shev Yaakov. He had 400 Talmidim, the Chidor writes. 400 Talmidim he had. For those days to have Yeshiva, 400 Talmidim was a very big thing. And
So he was also a tremendous kenoi, and Ramchal passed, and he made him sign that he's not going to be oisik in Kabbalah. He said, otherwise he's going to put you in cherem. So this is from Moshe Chagiz. In any case, Moshe Chagiz, the Chofetz Chaim brings down, he said there's two types of gaive. He says, there's two types of gaive. There's a physical gaive and there's a spiritual gaive. A ruchnizige gaive. There's a physical gaive, is a person talks about physical beauty, gevura strength, person that has physical strength, person is tall, it's all physical attributes. Maybe clothes, very nice clothes, so there's gaive in clothing, maybe ashiris. These are gaive gufni is the gezachim, right? These are physical inyonim of gaive. Then there is what's called spiritual gaive. Spiritual gaive means the things that are non-tangible, chokhmah, wisdom. It's not something that you can touch and hold in your hand. Chokhmah, kishrin, intelligence, midois, character traits, mitzvahs, how the way a person is makai mitzvahs. These are spiritual gaive. Person can have gaive in spiritual areas as well. So the Tana says that Moshe Chagiz brings the Chofetz Chaim, Ma'od Ma'od Havishal Ruach, means to distance yourself from gaive in both areas, both from physical gaive and also in the spiritual realm. Distance yourself, Shval Ruach, be humble. He says, Ma'od Ma'od, distance yourself from physical gaive, right? Don't be arrogant about your chokhmah, about your physical attributes, about your ashiris, about your begodim. And also distance yourself from the spiritual gaive regarding your chokhmah, your kishrin, your talents, your kima mitzvahs, your midos. And he points out as follows. He says, you see, mitzvahs is a spiritual thing. Being a spiritual thing, so the main schar of mitzvahs is where? In Olam Haba, which is a spiritual world, because this world is a material world. So being that mitzvah, schar mitzvah by amalekah, there's no schar mitzvahs in this world, because mitzvahs is a spiritual thing. So the schar of mitzvahs in the main is in the next world. He says, however, he says, there's a possibility. There's a possibility that Kodesh Baruch Hu can give you schar in this world too. Spiritual schar. Kovet is a spiritual schar. Because it's an attitude that you receive. So says the Moshe Chagiz, look, schar, mitzvah is a spiritual thing. Being a spiritual thing, so the schar is also in the spiritual world. However, there's a possibility that Kodesh Baruch Hu can pay back spiritual schar, means that's the kovet that a person receives on this world, because that is sort of like that's a spiritual, non-tangible satisfaction. So the Tana says, he says, be careful, because if a person pursues kovet, maybe that'll become your schar for your mitzvahs. You have nothing left l'olam haba. Moed moed avishval ruach, he says, because then he says, by taking the kovet b'olam hazeh, kovet is a spiritual type of a schar, spiritual hanoah. It's a spiritual hanoah. And therefore, moed moed avishval ruach, that may detract from your olam haba. So this brings down the Chofetz Chaim. Rabbi Yisai, I think we'll have to stop here and look at the sheet. Rabbi Yisai, time is short here. And we have the first item. If you remember, last week we spoke about the idea about Rav Sol Salanter, and here we learned in the Yorchas Tzadikim again about the Yin of the Baal Gaive, who believes that he's a Godel B'Chochma, even if it's not true, by the way, but if he believes that, Le'yoid Aloemis Mirov Gavoso, he'll never be Moid Aloemis. We spoke about Rav Sol Salanter, and so on. Here we have a very fascinating Uvde Maisa about concerning Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Ukein Zem is super, he says, similar to Rav Sol Salanter's Maisa that we brought last week. Oydis Rabbeinu HaGoyin Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. He's brought down the Sefer HaMoyer HaGodel from Rechil Mechel Stern, he says, and the Maisa goes as follows. Shebishoa Shehitziu Es Shemoy, right? When his name was proposed of Rav Shlomo Zalman, Lechahin Pe'er Beroshis Yeshivas Kol Torah HaMatir. Rav Shlomo Zalman was Rosh Yeshiva Yeshivas Kol Torah in Bayit V'gan. When his name came up many, many years ago in the beginning, they're looking for Rosh Yeshiva. When the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman was offered up, so Nikra, he was called Lifnei Chevre Hanholos HaYeshiva. So he had the members of the board. The members of the board, he was interviewed. Rav Shlomo Zalman was interviewed by the members of the board. He said, but not just members of the board. You had Hanholos HaYeshiva, he points out, Behem Goyinim V'Tzadikim, you had people who were Mevinim. Kedei Litois Al Kankano, they wanted to test. Well, Ahachlit Imroyuhu Lihis Ater Bekeser Rosh HaYeshiva. If he's really worthy of being crowned as Rosh Yeshiva. They had an exchange in learning, right? They had an exchange, an extensive exchange in learning, Imanahale HaYeshiva, Sha'aloi Hagoyin Rabbi Yonah Marzbach, very well known person, Rabbi Yonah Marzbach, Moshe Sternbuch brings him down quite a bit in his Sefer. Rabbi Yonah Marzbach asked Rabbi Shem Zalman She'elo B'Talmud. They asked him a question in the Gemara. Rabbi Shem Zalman Zatzal Onohu Alasar, and he answered on the spot, Eini Yedei Sechu, I don't know the answer. Remember, this is a person who now is being tested. It is a probe, you know? He's auditioning here. Mucha Yaiser, a while later, Kishchazal Abeisa Beirovish Shal Yoim, it was evening. Shotach Bifne Herabonis Aserhurav, he told his rabbits and he said what was going through his mind. Kinir Aloy, he believes, Shanholas Yeshivas Koltoya, that probably the administration, Tisarev Limnoisa Rosh Yeshiva, they probably will not, they'll refuse to appoint him as a Yeshiva. Why? Simply, what kind of Rosh Yeshiva? Didn't know he failed the test, couldn't answer the question. Poshet Mishum, he said, Mishum Shlo Yoda La Anois Ala Sheilo She Hitzik Before Nef Rebbe Yoino. Oida Medabrim, while we're still talking to his rabbis and telling her what his feelings are, he says, while they were talking, Vagoyin Rebbe Yoino himself is Oim to Bepesach. This Rebbe Yoino who asked the question is standing at the door. Ubepiv Bakosha B'Shem Chevra Hanholos Hashiva, and he's coming with a request in the name of the Yeshiva. Shechlitu Pe'echot, they all agreed, unanimously, Levake Shemeno, to ask him Sheyoyel Lovei Lechayin B'Roshes HaYeshiva, that he should become Rosh Yeshiva. Unanimously, they agreed that he's the proper Rosh Yeshiva. V'Oisav Rabbi Yoyne, and Rabbi Yoyne added, V'Omal, he said, Daloch, I want you to know, Ki B'Oisav Sha'oniso Al She'elosi Eni Yadea, the moment that you answered on my question, you don't know, Ra'isi Be'enai, I saw Es Oyel Ha'emes HaYukeresboch, I saw the flame of truth that's burning within you. You were able to say, to admit, you don't know. Shagam Shedat, and even though you knew that your potential position was at stake, you know you might lose the position. You knew Shedato Shishas Mivchan Hiloch. You know this is a test. Lo Hebato Shum Samamone Hischamkus Lamasloes. You didn't try to wiggle out some excuses. No excuses. You didn't try it. Simply, he says, Choshavto Be'an V'Tzedek Ve'Emes Lema En Yedai. Clearly, openly, you said, I don't know. That's truth. Beregazer. That moment right away, Gomlo Belibi Achlota. I made up my mind, said Rabbi Yoyne. This is the person that Hashem sent. Ki Atorish Oisoi Sholach Alekim Lefaneinu Laseis Be'Oil Rosh HaShiva, that you should carry the burden of the Yeshiva, be Rosh Yeshiva, because Memcho Yiru V'Chen Yaso Tamid HaShiva, because Tamid HaShiva should learn from you, to be Moy Alo Emes, to be admit the truth. He said this, yeah. Lishkod al midas ha'emes. B'havor es divrei Torah rebarach es chaim. V'shem zalman zatzal. Now listen to this. Remember we had about Rav Saul Salanter when he walked off the bima we had last week, and Rav Saul told his talmidim, the truth is that right away, he says, I was able to answer five different terusim to the person's kasha, and he would be satisfied with the answer, but I couldn't say it because I knew they were wrong, but he would not know. But because of intellectual honesty, I didn't answer. Five different terusim. I could have given five different answers. I couldn't give to the question. I only would have known that they're not true, that they're flawed, but he would not have known. Interesting here, he brings the same thing with Shlomo Zalman. He says that Shlomo Zalman avgir al Rabbi Yoyne, Shlomo Zalman revealed to Rabbi Yoyne, ki biyodo ho yakam tshuvis l'shelosoi, that the truth is he had quite a number of answers. El mishloi hoye betuach b'misosu shalachas mem, but being that he was not sure how true any of those answers, could have given an answer, but he wasn't confirmed in his mind how true those answers were. Hedif loimer is better than to say I don't know, rather than just to throw out a possible answer to give the impression as if it's true. Kach, so we find the midas remes hatzrufa with this, right? With this connection with midas remes, notel Reb Shlomo Zalman is kahunas roshes yeshivas kol Torah. He said this is how we find out. This is how I was rosh yeshiva for 50 years. So it's very, very interesting. So look number two. It's a very, very fascinating thing. What we can bring down to this, as Divrei Rashi Zal, al Aposik. Vayishlach Yitzchok es Yaakov, right? Vayelach Padeno Aron. We find Yitzchok sends Yaakov Avinu, right? And he sends them to Padeno Aron, Elovan ben Besoil, Arami, Achi Rivka, Eim Yaakov Esav. What's the Aposik saying here? Yitzchok is sending Yaakov. And then the Parsha told us, Yitzchak is sending Yaakov, go to Padan Aram, to Lavan, right? Who is Lavan? Lavan is the brother of Rivka. And who is Rivka? The mother of Yaakov Esav. Rabbi Isai, we didn't know that Rivka is the mother of Yaakov and Esav. This is the end of Pasha's told us already. And guess what? Rashi himself says, I don't know. Rashi himself says, I don't know. Rashi says, And Rashi says on here, I don't know what the Pasuk is telling me. Pasuk is telling me, Laban, the brother of Rivka. Rivka was the mother of Yaakov and Esav. That's what we need to be told now. So Maksim and Mephoshim ask, so if Rashi didn't know, don't say anything. Rashi says, no, don't say anything. So don't write anything. So it won't be a shtick of Rashi on that Pasuk. Rashi says, no. So if you don't know good, say, oh no, don't write. So Mephoshim ask, why did Rashi find that Nesem Adura Motzer Rashi on the Nochis list of any day? Mamalam Deinu. Monafshech, many a day perish a kosev, lo yifasha, if it's a lie. So Chachomim says as follows. Chachomim says, Ki Rashi HaKodesh Ochen Yoda Sheesh Liyashe Perish HaMikra Ki Biurim Shoinim Kashe Peshu Sham Mefosh. The truth is, other Mefosh HaTorah also. We once spoke about that in the past Shurim. There are Terusim Terat Kashe. Rashi knew those Terusim too. But you know what? Rashi felt they were not adequate. So Rashi said, I want you to know, I don't know the Pshat. That's the Pshat. Yeah, I could give you a teretz. As a matter of fact, other Mephoshim suggest terutzim. But Rashi wanted to tell you by saying, I don't know means that those terutzim were not satisfactory to me. Now, though they could have been advanced, but I want you to tell them, I don't know. Could have said, I know like anybody else. Why should you know less than anybody? There are terutzim that other Mephoshim give, so you know like they know. For me, I don't know, says Rashi. In other words, Avalei Hoysel HaChroa Berura, Maha Biru Hamiti, Lipshuta Shal Mikro, Leficha Kosav. Therefore, it was any day. Therefore, I don't know. The zemim midas emes, me madrege haniskeres, the madrege that we're speaking about. Lizmoida lo emes leloi busher. Time is moving on, Rabbi Sai. So we'll stop over here. We'll do the rest of the sheet. Maybe next week we'll see. The nikud is like this. Interesting thing is, you know, Reb Shalom Shadron, Rabbi Sai. The remaining few moments that we have. Of course, it was a Talmud of all of the great Bala Musar. Among them was Rabbi Lapian, right? Of course. Rabbi Chassaman, and of course it was due to Reb Shalom Shadron that we have a lot of the shmuzen, of course, of the various mashgichim. And when the balamusa, the mashgichim, you know, passed on, were nifter, Reb Shalom said, "I need a rebbe. I have to have a rebbe." So he adopted his rebbe was Rabbi Yehuda Zev Siegel, who was the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. He sent him to be his rebbe. I believe I might have mentioned. Maybe quite a while past that Shalom Shadron many years ago was sitting at my Shabbos table, we're discussing the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, and they're just discussing of how he feels towards him. And Shalom stops for a moment and he says, "I'm not sure." He says, "A quarter of the world or a third of the world certainly stands on his chus. I'm not sure. A third of the world, a quarter of the world," he says, "stand on his chus." He says, "On Yehuda Zev Siegel." So Reb Shalom Shadron, you know, I have to mention that Reb Yehuda Zev Siegel did not agree that he is his Rebbe. So as far as the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva was concerned, they were mutual chaverim. Shalom considered himself to be a Talmud because he humbled himself before him. But the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva himself did not consider it to be his Rebbe, and therefore they shared mutual esteem and affection. And basically they would all ask one another when they would meet how to handle character flaws each perceived they had. So the Mashgiach would say, "I have this and this problem. I have a problem with Gaivis." Reb Shalom should give him some mitzvahs. Reb Shalom would say, "I have this and this flawed character trait," which probably they didn't have at all. But this is the way they went. Each one asking the advice of the other how to correct certain character flaws that they perceived that they had. This is the exchange of the usual discussions. The interesting thing is that when Reb Shalom became 70 years old, shortly became 70 years old after that, he meets Rav Siegel and says to him, he says, "I feel very bad." Why? Because you know there's a mitzvah in the Torah, it says mitnaseva tokum, which means to say is that you have to basically rise in the presence of an elderly person. Right? Mitnaseva tokum. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is when you yourself are 70 years old, you don't have that mitzvah anymore. In Shulchan Aruch it's mentioned, Yerudeya, Reish Mem Dalet, it's mentioned that an elderly person, namely, if you're 70 years old, you're exempt from standing up for another elderly person. You're old yourself. You're elderly yourself. So if Shalom says, now that I've become 70 years old, I'm losing out on the mitzvah of the Seva Tokim. Because I have no mitzvah standing up for an elderly person. So Rav Siegel says, no. So from today on, you'll do the same thing. You'll still perform the mitzvah as an Eina Mitzvah Voice. In other words, if someone is not commanded and still does it, The schar maybe not as great as being mitzvah, because godel mitzvah, somebody's commanded to do a mitzvah, the schar grev, but you can still do the mitzvah. It's also a mitzvah. So, matter of fact, you can still do the mitzvah, but there's any mitzvah voice. However, said the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, but there's also an advantage of being 70. You're worried about losing the mitzvah of the Seva Tokum. And they said like this, because the truth is, when someone stands up for a Talmud Chochem, you're Rav Shalom, he says to him, you're Rav Shalom Talmud Chochem. Sure, you come into a place, people stand up for you as a Talmud Chochem. So Talmud Chochem has to be very careful when people stand up for him, that the Yetzer Hara shouldn't put gaiva, arrogance into his head because of the respect and the deference that they show him. But now that you're 70 years old, you don't have to worry about that, because the Yetzer Hara, Toiv will counter the standing up, not because of your Chochem, but because of your advanced age. So that will remove the gaiva from your head. So there's an advantage of being 70 years old, they said to him. And if Sholem would often add to that, and he said the following, he said, the truth is that, he says, you know, what's the eitzah, the antidote, he said, for Talmud Chochem, not to feel hoary, not to feel arrogant, gaivadik, when people stand up for him, is to imagine when you're walking into a Beis Medrash with a Sefer Torah. Everyone would stand up immediately. But if Talmud Chochem walks into a Beis Medrash and is holding a Sefer Torah, everybody's down. Be foolish for Talmud Chochem to think that they're standing up for him. Oh, look, they're standing up. They're standing up for the Sefer Torah. It's not because of you. So if Sholem said the same thing applies to Torah knowledge that a Talmud Chochem possesses, you should consider that when people stand up, it's for the Torah knowledge that he carries in his mind, which is equivalent to a Sefer Torah. Not for him. It's for the Torah. Mamela says this is some of the ways in order to combat areas of Gaiva. Okay, everybody.